Amen, amen. Thank God that He is our Savior. Let's take our Bible, please, and turn to the book of Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Usually by this time of the year that I like to address the issue of setting spiritual goals for the year. It seems like it takes us all a little bit of time just to settle into a routine, if there's any such thing as a routine. So I'd like to just share a few thoughts with you from Philippians chapter 3 and review some principles on moving forward for the Lord. If one doesn't move forward, then they are moving backward, eventually stagnant for a period of time, and that leads to a backward slide. So it's just so important that we as God's people continue to press forward. Here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, the Apostle Paul said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And I pray that you would encourage us in spirit this morning, that we would all press forward for thy glory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the Apostle Paul made this statement, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me to live is Christ. By this statement, Paul simply meant the following. Because my total life is lived fully for Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is declaring, I look forward to that day of reward. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul understood what it meant to give your life fully to the Lord. And that meant at the point of departure from this world, he understood the fact that the absence from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it's in God's presence that you and I will receive those spiritual rewards that are owing to us. For the Apostle Paul to have such an ambition in life, it's important that we understand that the Apostle Paul lived out his Christian life with purpose. He had some goals that were set before him. And these goals were simply there to enable him to just keep pressing forward. And I believe that as a Bible-believing Christian, it's just so critically important that all of us have spiritual goals for our lives. Many of God's people live without any real purpose in a spiritual sense. By that I mean they're quite content just to be in church Sunday morning or maybe Sunday night, but really at the heart of the issue, there is no real pressing forward. There is no goal that they are working towards in a spiritual sense. We do set goals in life, and I believe it would be a sad thing for you and I to have goals within your life and yet have the absence of spiritual goals. I believe we need to keep pressing forward, and that keeps us moving. That keeps the momentum, and that keeps us like a momentum keeps that plane in the air. So likewise, momentum pressing forward towards spiritual goals, a destiny, will keep you and I in the air spiritually. But if we have no purpose, if we're not moving forward, then eventually there'll be a downward spiral. And that is not a good thing. So I'd like to encourage you this morning to keep pressing forward. The devil wants us to stagnate. The devil wants us to stay where we're at. He's happy with that. But I believe we ought to make the devil as mad as possible, amen? And if you want to make the devil mad, press forward for the glory of God. Keep pressing forward. I believe the Apostle Paul was a thorn in Satan's side because he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he made such references to the fact that he was pressing forward. So I'd like for us to just review some principles from this passage of Scripture concerning pressing forward in 2011. Some principles in living out our spiritual goals for God's glory. The first principle is found in verse number 12. The first part of that verse reads, "Not as though I had already attained." The Apostle Paul was not claiming perfection. He communicates a spirit of humility by this statement. He's simply saying, listen, I still have a way to go. And brethren, if we are to press forward spiritually, we must understand there is a way to go. But if you and I are convinced that we are on the finish line, then there is no motivation. There is no need to press forward. But when you see that finish line in the horizon and you and I understand that we have not arrived spiritually, now this is the great Apostle Paul. If it wasn't for the Apostle Paul, where would you and I be today? He was the one that went to Europe and preached the gospel. And from Europe, the gospel came to Australia. Where would we be without the Apostle Paul saying, I'm going to press forward. I'm going to heed that call to Macedonia. And I'm so thankful he did that, because he brought the gospel to modern-day Europe. And from modern-day Europe, we have the gospel, we have our Christian heritage in this country. And I'm so thankful for that. And brethren, if we have to press forward for God's glory, we must be mindful of the fact, we must entertain a spirit of humility, just like the great Apostle Paul of old, who said, listen, I'm not claiming to have arrived. I haven't attained anything. I still have a way to go. Now, I think if the Apostle Paul had that attitude, may God help us to do likewise. May God help us to be mindful that nobody is like Christ fully. All of us can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. The Lord Jesus grew in stature. The Lord Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor with God and fellow man. Brethren, we need to press forward for God's glory. And this encompasses a spirit of humility that was evident in the life of the great Apostle Paul. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul being for us, being in our presence this morning and saying, brethren, I haven't arrived. I'm still not there. I think for most of us, we'd be scratching our heads and saying, what are you saying? God's used you mightily and God's still using you mightily. You must be awfully close. One might cry out. And I believe the Apostle Paul, with a spirit of humility, would simply say, Oh no, I'm still pressing forward. I still haven't attained to perfectionism. I'm still not what I ought to be. I thank God that I'm not what I once was, but I'm still pressing forward. That encompasses a spirit of humility. And brethren, if you and I are to reach our spiritual goals in 2011, we need to press forward, and that involves first and foremost a spirit of humility. A spirit of humility that's willing to say, I'm not perfect yet. Maybe I can learn a little bit more. Maybe I didn't quite do that as well as I should have or could have. I haven't attained. God will honor that type of a spirit as it was in the life of the great Apostle Paul. But also note, secondly, in verse number 12, he made reference to Christ being his Lord. He goes on to say in verse 12, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'd like for you to note that thought there, that he made reference to the fact that he was apprehended by Christ Jesus. That word apprehended means to be possessed or to be seized by. And what the Apostle Paul was conveying here, he said that my life is apprehended by Christ. Christ possesses me. He holds me captive. And brethren, as God's people, we must yield to the Lordship of Christ. He needs to be the Lord of your life. He needs to be the Lord of my life. We are good at sounding spiritual like King Saul. King Saul gave all the verbal affirmation that God was in control of his life, be it his actions, his words, his attitudes, his speech, betrayed him time and time again. And brethren, if we are to press forward for God's glory, we must not only have a spirit of humility. I'm not there yet. I've still got a way to go. But secondly, Jesus Christ needs to be the Lord of my life. He needs to be the Lord of your life. He is Lord of all. But if Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, how can we possibly press forward? Because he ought to apprehend us. He ought to possess and guide our lives. And I believe that he can do a far better job than what I can do and than what you can do. And we just need to let go of that steering wheel and just let God take control of that steering wheel, the steering wheel of your life. The problem is that we, as passengers, push the driver aside and grab that steering wheel. We think we can do better steering that vehicle from a passenger's position. Don't we understand that Jesus Christ is the chief driver? Don't we understand he needs to be the Lord of your life and my life? And brethren, if we have to press forward for God's glory, then we need to allow him to be Lord of all, Lord of our attitudes, Lord of our speech, Lord of our actions. When the great Apostle Paul was converted there in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, he cried out in simple confession concerning Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Apostle Paul was converted on that road to Damascus. And he not only confessed Jesus Christ as his Savior, he confessed him as Lord of all. Principle number 3 this morning from verse number 13. The first part of that verse reads, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. This one thing I do. I see the principle of focus here. He kept his eyes upon that one goal, which was the fulfillment of God's will for his life. He said, this one thing I do. He kept his eyes on that one focus that was before him. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He wasn't distracted. He stayed on that narrow pathway, the narrow pathway of God's will. And brethren, if we are to press forward spiritually, may God help us to stay focused. Keep the main thing, the main thing. See? The devil wants to distract you and I from the main thing. What is the main thing? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Brethren, people are dying and on their way to a Christless eternity. Why are we having missions month? Why are we exhausting efforts to promote missions? Because that is the heart of God. That is the focus of God. The devil hates the thing. Have you noticed that? He doesn't like the thing. But brethren, may God help us to maintain that focus upon the Lord. That one thing is the fulfillment of that great commission that was given to His church. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them the Word of God. And brethren, this morning, if we are to fulfill our spiritual goals for God's glory, if we are to move forward, there needs to be humility. There needs to be lordship. There needs to be focus. I'm having trouble focusing upon my Bible because I've left my glasses at home. You know, I said to myself this morning, don't forget your glasses. And as I looked in my bag this morning, there they were not. But that's okay. Thank God for a giant print Bible that helps a little. So, I'm lost with my Bible. I'm not sure where it is. There it is. Stranded. But, brethren, that one focus. That one focus upon the Lord. Then verse number 13 goes on to read. If we're to maintain this focus, note verse number 13, it reads, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Principle number 3, stay focused. This was evident in the life of Christ. He set his face as a flint to that old rugged cross. And I'm so thankful he did that. I'm so thankful he wasn't distracted. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin in order to die upon Mount Calvary for my sin. He maintained his focus. But the Apostle Paul went on to say, forgetting those things that are behind. We need to let go of distractions. That which will take you and I away from achieving those spiritual goals that God has set before us. The Apostle Paul made such a decision, forgetting those things that are behind, dead weights that will hinder our striving after God's, the fulfillment of God's perfect will for my life and for your life. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that we are to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are to lay aside every weight and every sin. And brethren, if we are to move forward, there needs to be a constant evaluation of one's life. And we need to acknowledge those possible distractions, and we just need to let go and press forward, forgetting those things that are behind. The pleasures of the past life, the people of the past life, the things of the past life, those things that would distract us from moving forward. What happened to Lot's wife? She looked back as she turned into a pillar of salt. And brethren, that's where most Christians are at. They're constantly looking back as if they're missing something. Brethren, press forward, brethren. Press forward. Let's keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't disappoint us. He will continue to motivate us. He will continue to cause us and energize us and strengthen us to move forward for His glory, for forgetting those things that are behind. And boy, the Apostle Paul had some baggage, did he not? He was a nasty, nasty person. Jealousy, envy, a violent individual, a murderer, selfish, self-centered. That was the Apostle Paul. Proud, boastful. And he said, listen, if I'm to press forward, I need to let the past be the past. May God help us to do likewise. Verse number 13 concludes by that little statement, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'd like you to note those two little words, reaching forth. That involves effort. It's been well said, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Brethren, we need to press forward. Yes, you'll have to stretch a little. We'll have to stretch a little for God's glory. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to forget those things of the past life that have held me captive. I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to do so with some effort. I'm going to press forward. And brethren, if you are determined to grow in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will involve some effort. If you are determined to do more for the cause of world evangelism, it will take some effort. If we are determined to be a soul winner, more so in 2011 as opposed to 2010, that will involve some effort. Some effort. We read on verse 14. 15 and 16, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In essence, these verses are referring to spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity comes when we are fulfilling God's calling upon our lives. See, note that little phrase there, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So in other words, brethren, we will mature in Christ as we press forward. We are not perfect, but yet the principle of perfection that's mentioned within these verses is in reference to spiritual maturity. So on the one hand, He said in verse 12, look, I've got a long way to go, and I'm mindful of that. But yet he also understood the other side of the coin, that as we press forward for God's glory, as we keep our focus upon God's calling upon our life, as we strive towards spiritual goals, God will transform you and I into the wonderful image of Jesus Christ. Spiritual maturity will be the byproduct of pressing forward. Do you want to grow spiritually? I trust your answer is yes. Brethren, let's move forward. Forgetting those things that are behind, let's press forward. The principle of maturity is a wonderful fruit or byproduct of you and I fulfilling God's will for our lives. Look at verse 17, a lovely little principle here concerning how to press forward. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. The principle of following godly examples
Brethren, we need to be discerning with the role models that we choose for life. The Apostle Paul was urging these Philippian believers to follow his example. Be followers together of me. Was he being boastful? I don't believe so. He was just setting some direction. People need guidance. The Bible teaches us all we like sheep have gone astray. We need guidance in our lives, do we not? Please talk to me. We need guidance. And brethren, we need to choose our role models for God's glory. We need to choose to follow Jesus Christ and those individuals that are following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul urges them with weeping. Look at verse number 18. For many walk. For many walk. Note that word many. He said, multitudes are walking, of whom I have told you often, I have warned you, said the Apostle Paul. Now tell you, even weeping, it's at a point where I'm just weeping and crying because you're just not listening to me. Choose, brethren, your models. Choose those that you will follow because these individuals are going to lead you astray. Be followers of me and those that like me are following Christ. Verse 19, it reads, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. What does that mean? Well, these false role models are driven by their own selfish lusts, their own personal agendas. And then it goes on to say, whose glory is in their shame, openly parading their sinful lifestyle. And some of God's people were so naive to follow individuals that were selfish and openly parading overt sin. And the Apostle Paul said, weeping, please don't follow me as I follow Christ. Take note of their life. This is not Christ-likeness. Follow me as I follow Christ. And brethren, if we're to press forward for God's glory, it's so critically important that we follow godly examples. Be discerning concerning your role models. We say this all the time to our young people, our teenagers. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your role models. Adults this morning, may I encourage you as well. Choose your role models. Choose your role models. And last but not least, the Bible goes on to read verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul looked forward to the personal, imminent, and visible return of Jesus Christ. And brethren, when we keep our eyes upon Christ and His soon return, we are mindful of the fact that His return will be imminent. That means it could be at any moment. That will motivate us to press forward. We might not have another year. We might only have March. If you knew that you only had March, what would you do for the cause of world evangelism? What would I do for the cause of reaching my family and friends in this world for Jesus Christ? I believe it would change our lives. See? And the Apostle Paul understood the fact that if one is to remain motivated, if one is to continue to move forward, then we need to be mindful of the fact that our Savior is coming back. And when He does return, note verse 21, who shall change our vile body. I won't go into what the word vile means. But I think you can imagine it's not a very nice word. This is how the great Apostle Paul describes his flesh and the works of the flesh. He said, it's vile! Vile! But he said, that's going to change one day. who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Pressing forward. How do we press forward for God's glory? Well, principle number 8, he valued the return of Christ. The Apostle Paul valued the return of Christ. He was mindful of the fact that Christ could return any moment. And when he does return, he understood it will be a day of promotion. It will be a day of transformation. And that motivated him to press forward, to press forward. My friend, if we knew that Christ was going to return on the 1st of April, then we would do so much more for God's glory. But brethren, the point is that Christ will come as a thief in the night. We don't know when he's going to return, but Jesus said, I will come again. Could be at any moment. So we need to live out our Christian life as if, I'm not sure if I'll have tomorrow. I'm not sure if I'll have another week. I'm not sure if I'll have another week. Christ is coming again. I know he's coming. He hasn't told me when, but I know he's coming. That should motivate us to press forward for God's glory. That's motivational, see? Paul the Apostle was spiritually focused. Ultimately, his main goal was the fulfillment of God's will for his life. And brethren, this morning I'd like to encourage you as we prepare for our missions month. Please listen to me. Let's press forward. Let's press forward. Now, what will that involve? Well, number one, humility. None of us have arrived. Number two, lordship. Christ must be Lord. Number three, a single focus. Principle number four, forgetting those things that are behind. Let go of those distractions. Principle number five, if we're to press forward, it's going to require some effort. Some effort. Principle number six, be encouraged that as we press forward in the fulfillment of God's calling upon our life, then God will bring about spiritual maturity. Principle number seven, choose to follow godly examples. And principle number eight, let's value the eternal realm. Jesus Christ is coming again. And may that motivate us to just press forward for God's glory. So in 2011, as we prepare for our missions month, brethren, listen to me, let's press forward for God's glory. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's be upstanding, please. Every